Greetings, people loved by God. Welcome to worship on this, the eighth weekend after Pentecost. A friendly reminder for everybody here, but also for those who are listening or watching online, check out our website, chapelofthecross.org. There's a lot of things there, but specifically, I'd like you to find that information about our online Bible classes and online Sunday school for children. And we invite you to be involved in those things for sure, but also to share those with your family and your friends. You'll also find our bulletin for this service on the website, on the homepage. It's under the Resources tab. And you may give your offering to the Lord, to your church, at that website, chapelofthecross.org. Click on the Give tab there and just follow the instructions, or you can simply mail your offering to the church office. There are two quick announcements before we begin our worship today. Photography dates are coming up soon for our new pictorial directory. If you remember, we moved our photo dates for obvious reasons from mid-April to September 9th through 12th. Many are already signed up or move their appointments to get their picture taken, but many have not yet done that. If you have not yet done that, please contact the church office to schedule your date and your time. We would really like full participation from everybody for that pictorial directory. More information about that is in your chapel weekly. Secondly, new sessions for Grief Share have been set. Grief Share, grief support groups will meet two different times. One group meets on Tuesdays from 2 to 4 p.m. That starts on August 11th. And then another group starts on Thursdays from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. on August 13th. Please call the church office to sign up, or if you have some questions or want some more information about Grief Share. May God bless you as we worship this day. We begin our worship by listening to our opening hymn, One Thing's Needful. It's hymn number 536 in Lutheran Service Book, verses 1, 4, and 5.
One thing's needful, Lord, this treasure teach me highly to regard. All else, though it first give pleasure, is a yoke that presses hard. Beneath it the heart is still fretting and striving, no true love happiness ever deriving. This one thing is needful, all others are vain. I count all but loss that I Christ may obtain. Nothing have I, Christ, to offer. You alone my highest good. Nothing have I, Lord, to proffer but your crimson-colored blood. Your death on the cross has death wholly defeated, and thereby my righteousness fully completed. Salvation's white raiment I there did obtain, and in them in glory with you I shall reign. Therefore you alone, my Savior, shall be all in all to me. Search my heart and my behavior, root out all hypocrisy. Through all my life's pilgrimage, guard and uphold me in loving forgiveness, O Jesus, enfold me. This one thing is needful, all others are vain. I count all but loss that I Christ may obtain.
We stand. Begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Sun of Righteousness shall rise with shining beams of healing. Let us gather under the wings of God's mercy. Gracious God, we acknowledge that we are sinners, and we confess our sins, those known to us that burden our hearts, and those unknown to us but seen by you. We know that before you nothing remains hidden, and in you everything is revealed. Free us from the slavery of sin. Liberate us from the bondage of guilt. Work in us that which is pleasing in your sight, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From the house of David, God raised up a mighty Savior. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who comes to set us free. Remembering the covenant, God delivered us from our enemies. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who comes to set us free. Before God, we are holy and righteous, free to worship without fear. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who comes to set us free. With a heart full of mercy and compassion, God saves us and forgives us all our sins. Christ, the dawn from on high, shines upon us, and by the light of the Holy Spirit, guides our feet into the way of peace. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you make your power known by showing mercy. Grant us your grace always to enjoy your heavenly treasure, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament recorded for this day and appointed for this day is from Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. Upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Because the sin Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Behold him that the risen Lamb, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace, my perfect spotless righteousness. Die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high. With Christ my Savior and my God, behold him then, the risen Lamb, the great unchangeable I am. thy perfect spotless righteousness.
Please stand. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up from the shore on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Together we confess our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for the sermon today is the gospel reading appointed for this day. Just a few parables that Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God from Matthew 13, beginning at verse 44. Listen again to a couple of those short parables. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything that he had, and bought it." In the name of Jesus, Christian friends, a decade ago, Forrest Fenn, a wealthy art dealer from New Mexico, hid a treasure chest with gold and gems estimated to be worth millions of dollars somewhere in the Rocky Mountains. Maybe you heard this story. His clues as to how to find that buried treasure were written in a poem he wrote, which started like this. "Begin it where warm waters halt, and take it in the canyon down. Not far, but too far to walk. Put in below the home of Brown." And the poem goes on like that, very cryptically. In early June, after 10 years of being hidden, Forrest Fenn reported that the buried treasure had finally been found. Fenn said that his goal was to get people off of their couches and away from their screens to take on an adventure. He said this, "We were going into a recession, and lots of people were losing their jobs. despair was written all over the headlines, and I just wanted to give some people hope. And we did that. And that may be true. It's estimated that over 350,000 people joined in the search for Fenn's treasure over the last 10 years. However, five people also died while searching for the treasure. And many others during their search got into trouble and needed help from search and rescue, all prompting the chief of the New Mexico State Police to publicly implore Fenn to end that treasure hunt when he said he's putting lives at risk. Hundreds of thousands searching. Many actually hurt or injured during the search. Some quitting their jobs and moving. And five people who lost their lives just to find that bronze box that had become to them a priceless treasure. Surprising when I read that story. But it probably shouldn't surprise me or you. People have all kinds of treasures that to them are priceless. A lot of different kinds of things. Cars, clothes, family, friends, homes, jobs. How about you? What is your most priceless treasure? There is, you know, something far more priceless than possessions. More priceless than a buried treasure somewhere out in the Rocky Mountains. And even more priceless than the love of family and friends. I mean, after all, we don't like to think about it, but our spouse is going to die eventually. Our children, they grow up and they leave home. Friends, they kind of come and go. Possessions break or get lost or get stolen or just kind of get boring. So what's the most priceless treasure? Well, Jesus shares with us a couple little stories today that tell us what the most priceless treasure is. He'd been speaking in parables all day long. And really, you can see Jesus just this painting this beautiful picture with his words, as he so very often did. He had talked about the parable of the sower, and then the parable of the wheat and the weeds, and he told the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast. He had been trying to explain through those little stories what the kingdom of heaven was all about. And here, as his disciples kind of gather around him, Jesus says, I'll give you a couple more. I'll give you a little more insight and what the kingdom is like. So he starts talking about a man who accidentally found a treasure in a field. He wasn't looking for it. He's probably half asleep when his plow hit that treasure box. But when he got around to looking at what he had hit, he realized that he had quite literally struck gold. Now, this is not as far-fetched as it may seem. I mean, back in those days, there were no banks, there were no safe deposit boxes, there was no safe place to keep a family treasure, so that when soldiers came sweeping through, as they sometimes did, taking over lands, people would quickly hide their treasure, hide their fortune in the ground in a place only they could find, in the hopes that someday they could come back and claim it. It was a buried treasure like that that this man probably found. He wasn't out searching for it. So the last thing on his mind is he went out to work that day that he might discover enough to retire on when he plowed the field. But find the treasure, he did. And he got so excited. I mean, that's all he could think about. How can I get this treasure? How can I make it my own? And he comes up with a plan. If I buy this field, then I own everything on the field. Or more importantly, I own everything in the field. And so, looking around to make sure nobody else saw what he saw, farmer kicked the dirt back over the treasure, and he goes and he sells all that he has to buy that field. He sells his house. He sells his clothes. He sells his land, his cattle, his sheep, his wife's jewelry, everything he has. He sells it all. He sells it all because he knows that that treasure in that field is worth so much more than everything he already has put together. In fact, it's priceless. Jesus doesn't miss a beat. He goes right into another story. And this one's kind of almost the same, but it involves a merchant and a pearl. You know, today we think about diamonds as the greatest gemstone, but in Jesus' day, pearls were the most precious gem. That pearl merchant has spent his whole life looking for the best pearls. That was his job. And he had seen and he had bought many, many fine pearls in his day. But that particular day, he comes upon this pearl, so beautiful, so flawless, so perfect, that he decided he must have that pearl, no matter what the cost might be. Because he knew that pearl, it was worth everything. So he too, like the man who found the treasure, he goes away and he sells everything that he owned. All the other pearls that paled in comparison to this one, the accumulation of all the pearls he owned were all exchanged for that one priceless pearl. And the point of the parables is clear. And it's so important, Jesus has to say it twice. He says the same thing in two different ways. Jesus himself is the priceless treasure in our lives. Jesus' sacrificial love has made him our most treasured possession. There is nothing more precious. There is nothing more valuable. There is nothing that compares. As that hymn says, Jesus, priceless treasure, source of purest pleasure, truest friend to me. I wonder, though, how often do we see him as a treasure? How often is he, number one, the first priority in our lives? Ask yourself, what would I pay for this treasure? And maybe it's a little scary to think of how little we might give up to get it. I mean, there's so many other treasures to grab our attention. So many other things that just look a lot better, and we see them all over the place. There's always something bigger, something better, something nicer, a lot of other treasures that grab our attention. And then it seems often we're kind of indifferent to our Lord, to that real treasure. We often ignore our Lord, our great treasure. And we find ourselves saying, in effect, well, really, who needs that treasure anyway? Who needs that treasure? Everyone needs that treasure. It's a treasure of eternal life. It's a treasure of salvation. It's a treasure of sins forgiven. It's a treasure of blessing upon blessing upon blessing. It's a treasure won for us on Calvary's cross and Easter's open tomb. It's a treasure of wine and bread, body and blood given for our forgiveness. It's a treasure of water and word, a little one becoming his child in baptism. It's a treasure of grace and mercy and love. Oh, what a treasure! It's a priceless treasure. Do you know that Jesus and his gifts is our priceless treasure? That's just really half of these wonderful parables. As we see Jesus serve and suffer and save, as we see him give up his heavenly throne, give up his divine power and glory, at least for a time, as we watch Jesus go painfully to the cross, we hear his parable saying that not only is he our priceless treasure, but we are his priceless treasure. We are his priceless pearl. For you and me, Jesus sold everything. He laid down his life for you. You are worth that much to him. He loves you that much that he gives up everything for you. You, his priceless treasure. Jesus gave up being over all things to take on the form of a servant, born so humbly, submitting to poverty, suffering the derision of man, suffering injustice, finally suffering death on a cross. He who had no sin became sin for us. He gave it up all, gave up all. He gave up all that he had. And why? Well, as we confess in the Catechism, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Well, there once was a man who found a treasure. And you are that treasure. Not that we have any merit or worthiness on our own, but our triune God and his grace has valued you. You are his priceless treasure. Jesus has one more story in him that day, one more parable. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is kind of like a great big net that some fishermen let down into the sea and caught all kinds of fish. And after the fishermen pulled that net in, they separate the edible fish from the bad ones. And Jesus says that at the end of the age, on the last day, the angels will come and they will separate the wicked from the righteous, just like the fishermen separate the good fish from the bad. A number of years ago, during Vacation Bible School, I remember a little boy coming to church, and he had on the cutest little t-shirt. On the t-shirt in the front was this big picture of a fish on it. And then under that fish were the words, "I'm a keeper." I'm a keeper. And, you know, we hear the story that Jesus tells us, and to me, that story makes us ask a very important question. Are you a keeper? Are you a keeper? Well, the answer is easy. Without a doubt, yes, I'm a keeper. You're a keeper. We are, yes, because we have the treasure. Yes, because the kingdom of heaven is ours. Yes, because Jesus is ours. Yes, because we are Jesus' priceless treasure. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand with me as we pray to our Lord. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, your love once created all things and set apart a people of your promise. Grant to us faith that we believe your word, heed the call of your love, and find peace in your gift of salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Blessed Father, your love is our great treasure, and your kingdom your gift. Grant that we, with bold voice, make known your salvation to all the ends of the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, you established your church and endowed her with your word and your sacraments. Bless all church members, lay leaders, church workers, pastors, and missionaries as they serve in your name with your gifts and your grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mighty God, you have set over us leaders who exercise the authority of the state for our protection against enemies and for justice against evildoers. Bless our President, the Congress of these United States, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Compassionate God, your Son was wounded for our transgressions, and in his wounds are healing and strength. Hear us on behalf of all of the sick, those who suffer, the grieving, and the dying. Today we especially remember Mel Fazy and Carolyn Hanneman. Grant them and others who are ill or infirm all that is needed to support them in their hour of need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of grace, you have given to us the gift of work and the privilege of using the fruits of our labors for the support of our families and ourselves. Give us a generous heart that we give aid to those in need, an honor to you with the worship of our hearts and the tithes and offerings of our hands. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks along with those who celebrate special milestones and gifts from your hand. Today, we especially praise you with Christy Elfrank and her friends and family upon her successful surgery and recovery. We also give thanks along with Arnie and Jerry Rankin as they celebrate their 66th wedding anniversary. Continue to give to them your mercy, your grace, and your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We remain standing as we sing our closing hymn together, The Church's One Foundation, hymn 644.